Jess, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm sorry, your name was, you said Jess?
Yes.
Oh, hi, I'm Adam.
Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Well, it's okay. Let me put it okay rather than good. Okay. So, are you familiar with law at all? Are you a lawyer by chance?
I am not, unfortunately. So let me preemptively say that for legislative issues, we normally recommend calling the Capitol office directly. And I apologize, but we're not trying to keep you the right around. It's just because they handle legislation daily, so they can probably give you better answers than we do.
Okay. I've gone through a lot of channels like that, not precisely that one. But I want to also share with you, and you can do whatever it is that you guys do with it, and go from there, and then maybe you can give me some other direction based upon what's going on. Okay, so just to give you a little bit of background, I'm a former police officer. I was retired. I worked in Huntington Beach. After I got out of law enforcement, I got into construction work, and in California, there's a law that says that if you want to do construction work, just like if you have to, you want to drive a car, you have to get a license. You take a test and you submit some experience requirements, and then they issue you a license. So I did that. I became what's called the qualifying individual of a contractor's license, meaning I'm the one that had the work experience and took the test and all of that. Now, the license that I got issued was in my company's name. My company was called Spartan Construction. I started doing some work and got involved in a really big project for some clients that I had. There was some disputes that went on. The final bill wasn't paid, and we ended up in court. So under the California laws, they are right, they're called Business and Professions Codes 7031A and 7031B. And the way that these laws work is that if you do work as an unlicensed contractor, the law reads that you have to, quote, return all compensation paid. Okay, so the way that the courts are interpreting that is that that means you have to give them a full refund. So imagine this. Imagine that you didn't have a license, and you went and you built a $1 million home for somebody on the bay in Newport Beach, and they you bought all the materials, you did the work, there was no problem with the work, and all of a sudden the people found out, oh well, Jess didn't have a license, so we're going to sue her and get all of our money back. So now you've built them a house, you paid $1 million, and you go to court, they accuse you of being an unlicensed contractor, and now you have to give them another $1 million. Do you see my problem there?
No, I do.
And that's what's going on. And so what's happening is that you go to court and this happens, and you say, hey, wait, judge, wait. You have to deduct the materials and labor that I gave them when I built their house because that's part of the compensation that I returned to them. No, it's not money, but that was the work that they had done, and that there is value in that wood and that drywall and the roofing materials and the labor that was put into it, and that has to be offset. And so what happens in these cases, it's taken me 2 years to research and find out exactly what's going on with this, is that it turns from an action, they call it remedial in law, and basically it's to create a remedy. So it's like, if I crashed into your car and caused you $2,000 worth of damage, if the court finds that I give you $2,000, that's not a penalty to me, that's just it's being remedial to you for the damage that I caused. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. So the opposite of a remedial action is a punitive action. That's when, like, hey, you run a red light, no one's injured, but you get a penalty. The penalty's $400. Give us money for that. Okay. So the way that this law is written is it's purely a penal action, meaning it's purely punitive because they're not taking into account the money and labor that you have put into the project. They're basically going in and the court is saying, okay, well, how much did you, the homeowner, pay the contractor for all the work? And it doesn't matter if it was $100 or $100 million. There's no evidence required of any damage. They just say whatever the contract amount was for, that's what you have to give back. And crazily enough, the judicial council got involved in a case where a contractor that they had hired to fix up the court buildings, that company changed its name in the middle of its contract. So it had a license when it started. It changed its name, and during the process, it did some work when it didn't have a license. And so the judicial council sued this contractor. They admitted there was not a problem wrong with the job. Nothing was done wrong. $22.7 million. So there's a major problem here. And this has been going on since 1939 when the statute was enacted. And I know that there have been other people that have gone to the legislature to try to share a reason about this, but it was done to me and in the amount of $930,000. This was after I put $930,000 worth of materials and labor into these people's house. So now they have a judgment against me that they've attached a lien to real property in the name of my living trust, and they're going to force me into bankruptcy to lose the property and basically go into bankruptcy. In law, that's called a forfeiture of estate. And put it this way, the maximum penalty, financial penalty that Congress, the United States Congress, has allowed for a violation of federal law is $250,000. My penalty is $930,000. The comparable criminal penalty, like if you get arrested, so to speak, for violating the licensing laws, is $5,000. So there's a serious problem here, and the courts, whose job it is to do something about this, are not doing it. And the legislature isn't seem to be doing it either. And I got a copy of the legislative history, which I will gladly email to you if you'd like, so that you can send it to Cotty or whatever, and save the time and energy in doing that. The governor initially vetoed the bill because he said, wait a minute, while I agree that contractors shouldn't profit from their wrong, that's a big difference from a full refund. He didn't think that the bill was constitutional because he didn't want to support homeowners knowingly filing these actions when they knew that the contractor was unlicensed. Does that make sense? Okay. So then apparently he got a letter from the Legislative Council of California saying that the bill was constitutional and he approved it. But I think you get where I'm coming from. I could talk to you for days about the ridiculousness of this. But something needs to be done about it. So I'm sharing with you.
No, absolutely. So, and I realize the issue is far more complicated than this. But in the most basic terms, would you say that you're seeking legislative change? And I apologize, I'm not trying to distill your problem into a sentence, but it's just so for our records.
Well, what options do I have for your records? I get where you're coming from, and I take no offense to that. I get what you're trying to categorize all the stuff that I'm saying and put it into some sort of box so that you can present it in that format, so to speak. Am I understanding correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So what other options do I have to choose from? Obviously,
The reason I'm trying to categorize it this way is because, I'm actually going to ask if you can put this in writing. I apologize, it's a little more work. Just everything you told me just now, like, email it to me. And the reason for that is because I want to separate.
Okay, so So ultimately, at the end of the day, what you're proposing is that I write you an email, basically sharing what I just shared, and then you're going to send it to the Capitol office.
Not exactly. I'm going to go through the email first, separate out the issues, and touch base with our state contacts as needed. I really just want to be in writing first, if that's okay. And depending on your specific ask, part of the work might be divided with legislative or the Capitol office. Part of the work might be divided with our office. And of course, I would like to know that.
Okay, that would be great. So yes, I can absolutely do that. What is your email, please?
My email is J, like Jessica, E, like Elizabeth, S, like Sam, S, like Sam, period, Huang, and that is spelled H, like Henry, U, like Umbrella, A, like Ann, N, like Nancy, G, like Gary, A, S, M, and that Ann, Sam, Mary, .ca.gov.
Perfect.
So what normally happens is I will read your email, I obviously confirm receipt, and then I open up an LCMS case for you, and that is the Legislative Constituent Management System, and then we sort of divide a parcel up. So sometimes your situation I might refer to one department, and then they might be like, well, it's a different department. So it just requires sort of following up and like following up, basically.
Okay. So yeah, definitely there's an aspect of legislative change there. And the other thing is, I'm not sure if you're aware, if California has a process for filing a redress of grievance with the legislature. Have you heard of that?
I have not, but I can definitely touch base with my colleagues. I apologize, I'm a little new to the office.
That's okay. We'll figure it out together. There's definitely help.
And I can check with my Capitol office colleague, Justice Rodriguez, who I'm sure probably does know about this.
Okay, great. So I will get an email to you with this information that you requested, and then I'll wait to hear back from you as far as what to do next. Or what
yes,
to
do. And our state contacts, I will say, they're normally pretty quick. And so I'd like to try and get answers, or at least some kind of concrete solution for it within 1 week. So that's the timeline we're looking at the moment.
Okay, perfect. I will not reach out to you again until maybe a week and a half if I don't hear from you.
Absolutely, and just don't hesitate to reach out because that is what we're here for. But I just wanted to let you know sometimes we're like, well, the DMV responded like 48 hours, 72 hours. What's the timeline? So that's why I like to preemptively put that out there.
Okay, and just out of curiosity, what is the state contact that you have? Is that something public for us, or that is internal?
It is not, actually. We have a specific state contact list for legislative work.
Okay, I see. All right, okay. So this is the channel that I should go through. It's through you this way and allow you to do all that, and we'll go from there.
Yes, and sometimes I am asked if I can share those contacts. I apologize, I can't, because they're very specific. We will communicate with legislative offices only.
Okay, that's fine. No problem. If this is the channel, this is the channel. Yeah, great.
If you think of anything else, don't hesitate to email me. And part of the reason why I like having the email is that you can have a record too, and it's all documented within our system that you've done X, Y, and Z, so basically it proves that you've done your due diligence.
Perfect. Sounds fair. Thank you, Jess. You've been great.
No problem.
Okay.
So I will keep an eye out on the email for you, and then I will go through your email, and then we'll go through next steps.
Okay, if when you get it, could you be so kind as to just reply that you got it so that there's no, like, spam boxes? Or? Okay, great. It'll be there today or tomorrow, something like that.
Okay, perfect. Not a problem.
Thank you, Jess. Okay, bye-bye.